Hi, this is John Mosby, author of Fearful Symmetry, the essential guide to all things Highlander, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to episode 57 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On the show, we cover all things Highlander, including guest interviews, movies, TV shows, books, audiobooks, games, and special events such as the Highlander TV show, 25th Anniversary Gathering, and more. I'm Kevin, one of your Blood of Kings hosts. However, you know I don't do this alone. I need my fellow mortal brother and fellow Highlander aficionado. With me is my co-host, Norman. Welcome back, Norm.
You know, Kevin, we're actually in a really nice spot right here because we are continuing our celebration of the gathering, the Highlander Worldwide 25th Anniversary Convention. And believe me, if I could talk about this convention until the end of time, I probably would.
I think we got a little, maybe a little misty eye on the last episode.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, and it was a convention that made so many different impacts, I guess, you know, in our lives, not just for being a convention board, but for being the convention, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think probably it's safe to say of all of the other Highlander Worldwide conventions, it might have been the biggest one since the original one, or the one that you went to back in 98, which was not a worldwide event, but was still a big event.
You know, you've done a lot of conventions, Kevin. You know, I mean, you do a lot of Star Wars conventions, Star Trek conventions. You've done a lot of conventions, Dragon Con, San Diego Comic Con. What did this size of a convention mean to you? Because it's nowhere near the size of the conventions that you're used to doing. I don't do a lot of conventions, but what did this size convention mean to you?
Much more intimate, I would have to say. And definitely much more emotional. 'Cause this is just one of those, it's not a yearly convention. Like you can go, oh, you know what? I'm not going to be able to go this year. I'll just go next year. You don't do that with these, mm-hmm. You know, and with the 25th anniversary of the original, you know, the first airing of the television series, it was a big deal, and you're not going to get another one of those like that,
right?
So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, before we head into the main part of the show here, we're going to get into Norm. Why don't you tell the fans here where they can find us across social media and how to get a hold of us?
Oh, I'd love to. So, first of all, we would like to thank all of the fans for supporting Blood of Kings. And if you'd like to get in touch with us online or across social media, you can always find us on fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find us on FPNet on the Podbean app. You can find us also on Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play for the Android users. That's the master feed on iTunes. You can also find us on Instagram at the Fandom Podcast Network and on Blood of Kings Pod. You can also find us on our main page on Facebook. That's Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group. You can also find us on our sister page at Blood of Kings, a Highlander CCG, our collectible card game page. Now, if you'd like to contact us directly and let us know what you think about the show or your ideas or what you'd like to have discussed on the show, you can always find us on email at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at bloodofkingspodcast. And Kevin, where can we find you on Instagram and Twitter?
You can find me at Spartan_Phoenix.
And you can find me, Norman, on Twitter at Starfighter1701 and on Instagram at SoCalSwordFighter. And you can find Mike Sellers, our editor of the Blood of Kings podcast, on Twitter at ImmortalChamoli. Now, if you would like to actually Interact with us on iTunes and let us know what you think about our podcast. You can find us there on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed on iTunes and leave us a review. We love 5-star reviews, of course, but we love feedback in general. So make sure that you find us, the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, and make sure that you leave us the review that you would like to leave for us, because any review will obviously let us know how you feel about us, but will let new listeners know what you would like to see in future podcasts. And that's very important to us.
Yes, please. We welcome all reviews, please. And you know what? If you will leave a review, we will also mention it here on Bloody Kings too. So we also want to remind all of our listeners that we have a partnership with TeePublic. If you go to TeePublic and you search Fandom Podcast Network, and if you happen to be a Highlander and Bloody Kings fan, you will find some Bloody Kings logos and some really cool stuff to put them on. Not just shirts, but you can do tank tops and sweatshirts and cups and folders and all kinds of cool stuff. And we also have, of course, our Bloody Kings logo, but we also have Team Iron Pipe logo as well. So make sure you check that out.
You know how many people at the convention didn't quite grasp the Team Iron Pipe concept? You know?
Yeah, I remember F. Bron McAsh was asking us, so what's this Iron Pipe thing?
So for all of you out there, yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Once you explain it, he got it. So you go ahead.
Well, the funny thing, it's an inside joke in Highlander, because Team Iron Pipe basically references, there are scenes in the movies and the TV show where the McLeods, either Connor or Duncan, will grab an iron pipe to defend themselves in various specific ways. And it's just funny. It's a funny thing. So Kevin and I adopted Team Iron Pipe, but that was for this year. This is for 2017. Next year, for 2018, will we adopt hashtag Team Michael Christian? Probably not. Or possibly hashtag team the immortal Chamoli, maybe. But
or Richie's green jacket.
Or yeah, exactly. So Team Iron Pipe was something very specific for hashtag 2017.
Did Stan Kirsch say if he still had that jacket? Do you remember if he ever,
I don't know. I don't know. We didn't have that opportunity with him, but that would be pretty awesome if he had that green motorcycle jacket for sure. Yeah.
Well, we wanted to, for this particular episode, we're not going to do Joe's today. We're going to go right into the show topic here. And we are talking about Highlander the Gathering in the Line of Fire, the social media panel. Norm, you and I were honored to be part of a panel at the Highlander 25th Anniversary Convention Gathering. And from the program itself, it says, social media plays such an important part in modern fandom. Podcasters, Bloody Kings, Highlander Rewatch, and Highlander Hearts Grant Kempster join Gillian Horvath and Donaletto to look on its influences from the 1990s until now. When we first heard about this, Norm, I want to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. We were really, really excited because it was teased that we would be on some type of panel. We weren't sure at the time, and then we heard that we might be on one with Highlander Rewatch, so we got really excited about that. But when we finally kind of saw it scheduled, we were pretty excited.
Well, one thing I'd like to make one small correction on. It's actually Highlander the Gathering in the Online of Fire. And I think it's kind of like a play on words, because it was an online panel discussion where we...
This is true, yes.
So where the online fandom evolved from the original alt.tv.highlander boards to the Reicher boards to where we are now. And then, you know, with Grant Kempster and Highlander Heart and his fanfic magazine kind of like filling in the medium in between. So, yeah, that was a great honor for us, Kev. You know, go ahead.
I had a question for you. I've heard about the Reicher boards. You've talked about them with fond memories and that was brought up during the panel, which our listeners will hear here in a moment. But I wanted to ask you, what was that like? First of all, was the Reicher board something you had to kind of sign up for and subscribe for? If you were getting on your computer. In those days, you had those big monitor computers. Mm-hmm. What was it like getting on the Reicher boards? What did you have to do? It had, and why was it called Reicher? Give us a little feedback on the Reicher thing.
Okay, so
our history.
Reicher was one of the production companies that produced Highlander. Reicher was, I guess, when you say the Reicher Forms, it's because it was the production house that produced Highlander, you know, Reicher Productions, along with Davis Panzer Productions. So these original boards were, I guess they were kind of like the beginnings of what you would actually know now as any kind of chat board, or this was before Facebook. This was before Twitter. This was before any kind of social media. This was the most primitive version of a chat board that you could actually be on or be involved with. I was with several. I did Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the day. You know, I did, obviously, Highlander with the Reicher board. So when I say Reicher, Reicher means the production company that hosted the online forum for where all of these people were able to congregate and talk about Highlander. America Online, AOL, they kind of did a similar thing. Donna and Gillian talked about that in this particular panel. These were as primitive chat boards could be in, say, 1997, 98, 99. Also, this is when you actually had to deal with these 9800 baud modems, you know, with and I'm gonna, yeah, exactly, right, ding dong, ding dong, you know, those, you know, and Netscape was kind of like America Online, AOL, and Netscape were kind of like the progenitors, right?
I remember Netscape. Oh my god,
exactly. And a lot of people, you know, back in the day were, so yes, you had to deal with that. You made sure that you weren't dealing with a long distance number, because some of us fell prey to dealing with long distance numbers and had to pay the actual fee for doing a long distance number. So yeah, these were the original versions of kind of the chat boards of today.
Remember those little discs, AOL discs that you would get, mm-hmm. you know, for like a trial run, and you like eventually. They all became coasters.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, totally. Once they had you on there, but the great thing was is that, you know, when you looked out at the group of people that congregated to this particular online panel, there were a lot of people that were there from the beginning. There was a board out there on the internet called alt.tv.highlander, and this was probably one of the best resources that you actually had for Highlander. It was kind of like this communal board that shared a lot of information, and everyone kind of supported that. You know, there weren't a lot of, it's not like today where you can like Google something like throw Highlander and you have like a billion sources that quotes, you know, what Highlander is. These were very small groups, very intense groups, and very committed to providing quality information for this particular series. So it was a very interesting step backwards into remembering what these original boards used to provide fans.
Just one last thing I want to ask you is describe the, what was it like being on these compared to being on Facebook and social media now, where everyone can, you know, kind of, you know, we see the negative side of social media mm-hmm. a lot now, you know, especially in fandom. What was it like then?
I think it was more of a general sharing of information. I think it's because that this whole, it wasn't even social media. I'm not even going to quantify that as such. It was more along the lines of, oh my God, I can talk to somebody in Japan like Jill or Andy right. about Highlander, or I can talk to, say, Vladimir in Russia, in Moscow, about Highlander, or I can talk to, say, Carmel McPherson in Australia, or John Mosby in England, when he was in England, about Highlander. We can all communally organize, or Grant Kempster in Scotland. I think he's in Scotland or in London now, or anyone. You can go to these forums and share what you knew, and it wasn't about one-upping somebody or poo-pooing somebody's idea. It was about, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to somebody across the globe and sharing information about Highlander. That's, or anything, or any fandom. So I think that at that time, it was more celebrated than it was taken granted for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. Did you have to have like a username or something like that?
Well,
that you went by?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty...
What was yours? What was yours? Come on. What was yours?
Well, I always went with Starfighter.
Oh, you always
went with Starfighter. So if anyone originally on those boards... But the thing is that I was more of a lurker, and a lot of people were. So there were lurkers on the boards that eventually maybe posted one thing here or there. But the way that the architecture was for chat rooms at the time wasn't nearly as robust or as dynamic as chat rooms are now.
I was kind of hoping you were, because I remember seeing old pictures of you, and I was kind of hoping to be like leather vest, ponytail guy, 1701.
1701 always plays a huge factor in me. Everyone knows that 1701 is the NCC 1701. That's the Enterprise. But, you know, back in the day, I guess those weren't really as influential to your social media profile as things are now. Right? Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for a little step back into time on those Reicher boards and sharing everyone's Highlander fandom on those early days of social media. Mm-hmm. Well, for today's show, obviously, we're going to be talking about we got a chance to record, and we wanted to thank John Mosby and Carmel McPherson, our panel. And speaking of John, he was the mediator and the moderator, excuse me. And he says, and we said this in the last episode about how, and we'll hear this in the recording, about he felt this was one of his favorite panels to do because of how important that people like us and Highlander Rewatch and Highlander Heart and, you know, Gilly and Donna, and how important it was for fans to share their fandom through these different venues and see how things have changed and where we are now. And it was really cool because it was funny because there wasn't enough chairs for everyone. So all the guys all sat on the edge of the stage, and Donna and Gillian sat on chairs behind us, and had a good time talking about the old days. And of course, as I mentioned before, age was brought up, but it was brought up in a way that was kind of cool too, because of how, you know, Highlander Rewatch their younger audience and how it affected them, and how Highlander is pretty much ageless when it comes to the different levels of, you know, fandom from, you know, different levels of ages. So anyway, I will say it was a lot of fun to do this, and I was honored to be part of this, and I know you were excited about it as well.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting to talk to the group of people that were there, and I was really flattered that most of the chairs in that particular hall in that salon were filled, because I think that it is important that Highlander has a voice and very different ways of being represented with that voice. Because, you know, Highlander Rewatch, you know, they have a voice and they bring Highlander to the forefront in their style. And Grant, with Highlander Heart and the fan magazine that he did, he had his style. And that it, with Blood of Kings, we have our style. And it's interesting that, and I think that everyone has a reason to celebrate the way that we celebrate our fandom, because Highlander, in and of itself, remember, it started in 1986 with the first movie. So 31 years later, now in 2017, 25 years later, with celebrating the TV show, we're still pushing the forefront of that fandom. And we're celebrating it so passionately and so deeply. And Highlander Worldwide was there. You know, they put up so much work and so much money and so much passion and so much dedication and so much this and so much that to put together the ultimate fan convention, because that's what we want to do. It's not what necessarily we need to do. It's what we want to do. And I think that is something that's very significant in terms of how fandom is celebrated with these smaller kind of fandoms, like, say, like Highlander, that haven't been celebrated the way that, say, Star Wars is celebrated, or Harry Potter is celebrated, or Star Trek is celebrated, right?
Right. Well said. And I just would like to say thank you to John and Carmel. Thank you for allowing for us to participate. And And it was also nice. I tell you, in my mind too, Gillian and Donna are Highlander legends, mm-hmm. and it was great to share a stage with them.
I think that you and I mean, we're in our late 40s, mid to late 40s. I think that it's funny that Donna and Gillian were talking about some of us as being kind of like these younger,
right?
You know, these younger influences in Highlander, but
I think they thought we were younger than we were.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's younger in terms of affecting the fandom in real time, which we are, but there's also younger in terms of affecting the fandom in real time, but actually being younger than them. I think that if we had more time with Gillian and Donna, and I wish we did, and it's one of the great regrets that I have with that convention, we always could have done more or seen more or met more or talked to more. There's so many mores that we could have done. I think that would have been fun to actually sit down with the two of them, had a drink, talked about where we were with our fandom, and just kind of like say, you know what? I was there in 1992 when you launched the show. You know, we were there when you made your impact on fandom community. So, yeah, you know, it was an interesting thing because it doesn't really matter in fandom when you get attached to the fandom. The most important thing is that you do, and you did.
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent point. Well, without further ado, let's introduce our panel that we recorded live there. Here is Highlander the Gathering in the Online of Fire social media panel.
In the days of the Reicher Forum. The Reicher Forum, one of the earliest forums. And I was just about to say, that's not even the first. Highlander fandom on online has been going on for so long, but it's now, in the last year or so, got revitalized as well. So we thought we would get everybody on stage who is involved in that. It's fine. and it's one of those things.
I think it's viewer's choice.
We have all the men at our feet.
Donna and Gillian, you
Gillian's best song.
Donna and Gillian, you were there right at the start of real. I've often said Highlander was one of the first series ever to go, there's this thing called the internet, and I think it could be useful as well as fun. It's come a long way, but I'm interested in those days, how groundbreaking that really, we take it for granted now, how groundbreaking was what you were doing at the time?
Well, it was interesting. Gillian had just started working on season two, and I was, let's say, in a different fandom, so I was already on Prodigy and Genie and that sort of thing. And so one day I went and looked to see what this Highlander thing was, because Gillian had a new job, and there were some guys on there who were confused because apparently season one had aired out of order, and, you know, we have to be completionists. What order were these supposed to come in? And they're arguing about, you know, whatever. And so I actually contacted Gillian and said, can you answer this question? And she did, and I went back and posted to those guys. So that's kind of where it all started.
The more things change, the more they don't change.
Right.
But at the time, nobody, I mean, I was trying to think of other shows that were even sort of putting their feelers out.
Yeah.
I can't think of any of the shows at the time.
And we were, you know, we were junior when we were going back and forth between the AOL chat room every Monday night and the office. And so while we were there, we started seeing other people get in on this. Like Joe Straczynski with Babylon 5, he started really opening the door wide, but he was executive producer. He had the choice to really give out, you know, what would be considered confidential information.
And he never slept.
And he never slept, that's right. And so we were always doing sort of a judgment act of like, what's a thing that the fans would find fun, but that isn't in any way, you know, a negative toward the people we work for? Because it was all brand new, there wasn't really any oversight. Like, we used our judgment, and as you know, as long as we didn't screw up, then everything was fine. These days, it's actually a lot more controlled. control, then you have to get permission from the studio. This is the kind, not for every single tweet you make, but for the concept of even opening up a Twitter account for your show and what are you going to say from there, who's going to be running it. It's now that people have recognized that it's a cool thing, A, it's almost expected. Like, you can't have a show that doesn't interact. But also, there's actually somewhat less freedom to just be, oh, hey, I'm just here. I'm another person who happens to work on this TV show, and I've come to a social space with people as opposed to, I am here.
And here's what happened to my day. We can't really do that anymore. It's like, oh,
And there's more information out there, too. Like, we had little tidbits that at the time people were like, oh, that's so interesting. And now people are like, yeah, we know how it works.
What were the first act? What was the first? And I came on board with Raisha. I know there was stuff beforehand. What did I miss? I came in 97 with Raisha. So there was the the Highlander.
TV Highlander. So,
yeah. And that evolved.
And there was the magic spa on AOL, which was the Monday night chat, where everybody, wherever they were, would get some wine and cheese and hang out on the AOL chat room, like just a real-time chat. Does anybody even do that kind of real-time chat room anymore?
Well, and actually before it was on AOL, it was on Genie.
Now, see, that's before me. I didn't have a Genie account. So
okay,
you
that's how I met
to me.
That is how I met Claire Meyer, was on
now
Genie.
Now we've got Facebook.
Yeah.
Old-timers who remembers Claire Meyer, she was one of our premier experts when she was alive. And so that I remember the AOL chat room, which we tried to get there every Monday. I remember one time I had a Forever Night script I was supposed to be writing, so I was procrastinating on the chat room. And then I would get punted. Remember that, like, you'd lose your connection and you'd fall offline. And so people were like, you should clearly be writing. Stop coming back here.
And then there was the earthquake. We were in the middle of a chat. And your apartment started shaking, and we're like, be right back, running out the door.
I remember us doing one of the
And, of course,
chats.
We're all trying to get out the door at the same time. That
don't
was,
remember
like,
that.
Some
wow.
Keystone Cops thing.
This has been the story for 20 years, is I'm like, I don't remember that, but it's obviously true, because Donna has a way bigger hard drive than I have. I'm always purging information for the new stuff to come in. Which is, I think, why I like the Facebook Memories feature, where it brings up something. That is a cool thing that happened last year that I'd completely forgotten. I remember the chats that we did from when I got my new house and it didn't have any furniture in it yet. So we took a bottle of wine and we ordered a pizza and we sat on the floor with three laptops.
By the time Reicher started getting interested, we were almost out of the game, I think.
Yeah, well, if it was 97. Yeah,
it'd be nice. You were already an online presence. People would say, Gillian and Donna. And even when I didn't know who Gillian and Donna were in the first literally couple of weeks, it was like, now I know who they are.
It was online, offline. And, you know, we should probably move on to today from way back then. We could nostalgia all day. But there was this...
Is that a verb?
Yeah. It's not.
You couldn't go like fully offline. Like, people would email because they wanted us to send them the info back in the mail. You know, we had this thing that was printed in microtype so that you could mail it for only 37 cents. That was all, it was basically an FAQ of the show. So anytime someone sent a fan letter, we would send them this info pack. You could email to ask for the info pack, but we didn't email the info pack out. We still sent it to you in an envelope.
Well, you couldn't really email attachments very well. I mean, the way that the show was being made, especially when we were in France, our office would handle, creating the scripts and updating them, and then I would put them on an FTP server, and in the middle of the night, someone from France would then try to download it. And if they couldn't, I got a call at 3 a.m, and I went back to the office and reset the FTP server. So once we were able to send, substantial attachments on email, that game all changed.
I mean, first couple of years, at least, it was like one file per act of the show. You couldn't put a whole script in a file.
Are we sounding older or what?
The world moves so fast. Maybe we should let the younglings tell us what it's like today, children.
I mean, we've got Blood of Kings, Highlander Rewatched, and Highlander Heart, who are leading the vanguard now. So, yeah, what were your impressions of coming into this?
So, at least for us, you know, we're kind of part of the second generation of Highlander fans, at least on the rewatch side of the equation. I don't want to speak for you gentlemen. But, you know, we grew up when we were very young with our parents watching it. So our experience is yeah. That's okay. I can be in the line of fire. It's cool.
Cool parents.
Yeah. No, our parents were totally hip. I
just want to point out we were like fresh out of school.
So for us, you know, we obviously interact in social media a little differently. We kind of came up in the time when it was all coming together. So we kind of carve out the social media presence a little differently. And of course, it's also a 25-year-old show at this point. So you don't get the opportunity to do these live chat rooms anymore. Though I wonder, because there are services like Twitch now, which is a live streaming service. And a lot of times, if there's some kind of big event, there will be thousands of people on a chat room. And it's kind of pandemonium, all the text there. So I wonder if Highlander gets new life.
We talked about whether we could do something like, you know, like Facebook Live as part of, logistically, it would have been a nightmare to do. Legally, it would probably have been a nightmare to do. It was certainly the technologies there to have done it.
We should have been Periscoping from here, right? Or is Periscope been replaced by Twitch? Am I behind the times again?
I feel like Twitch is a little dorkier. Like, it's got, you know, it's got like a more of a niche. It's like, oh, I want to go watch people play Counter-Strike 2 on their computer for 3 hours. And that's what, you know, that's the main Twitch market. Did you know you run faster if you hold the knife? I didn't know that. I did actually, but.
Nerd alert.
And proud of it.
Exactly. Letting my freak flag fly.
All right, well, I was one of those parents that watched it the first time. I now have 3 kids. But yeah, we were back in the old days, and it was, yes, there were the forums and things, but I don't think that necessarily everybody knew about them. So it was kind of harder to connect the fans, certainly in the UK, which is where I'm from, obviously. My experience was that I wound up creating, I kind of took over a fan club in the UK. That was about to fold, and I was going to join it today. I'm going to fold it, and I said, oh, okay, I'll take it over. And I spoke to Davis Panzer, and they were good with it. And there was the official club up in Scotland, run by Elaine Nicol, lovely, lovely lady who's in Homeland, walking down the hill, says, not her real voice, but she, I can't remember what she says to Duncan as he walks past. What did she say?
It says, and to you.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah. paid by the word.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I sort of just created this club and I had to advertise through magazines, Starburst magazine at the time, just so that people could find me, you know. And even then, ultimately, we ended up with about 100 members, and I would create this little fanzine, I would send it out to them and get sort of, you know, that was the interaction. There was no email as such, and, you know, barely any internet at that point. So it was hard to do it, and I could only really do it for a couple of years because then, you know, got a better job and girlfriend and, you know, the life. Thanks. Thank you. No, I don't mean it.
No, but
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I just mean it took up more of my life that I was able to then do stuff with a dick. So yeah, it was difficult. But the flip side of that is now that when Facebook came along, you know, and I thought, well, okay, let's reconnect with at the time. It's just let's reconnect with the people that were members in the first, you know, the first way around. And it's just grown and grown and grown, and more recently, thanks to these guys, you know, it's just blown up. You know, now we're like 3,500 members. You know, which is fantastic. So. Yeah, that's my
experience. Grant and I are sort of the same era. He's just got better genes than I've got. But it's...
thank you.
but it is true. We had to go and look for things. Yeah. It was much more... I found Reichert almost completely by accident and never left but until it closed. But it was... Nowadays, I think it's a lot easier now. If you took Google to somebody in that area, they would have just, you know, thought you were Martian. It's interesting how...
If you want to feel old, Google didn't exist until 1998.
Thanks for that.
Something, and I definitely, sorry to jump in, but I'll jump back out. But we're hitting on something, which is that whether it's on paper, whether it's fanzines going around, or whether it's, there are certain shows and books that gather fandoms around them. And these days, every single property has a website, has a web presence, but not all of them are actually populated by people who care. It used to be harder to do, so only certain shows had them. Now every show has them, but a lot of them are sort of moribund. And this energy that you guys are putting out is what determines the difference.
Well, and a lot of those corporately managed sites talk down to fans. They don't think it's the fans are important, whereas we were like, we're sharing energy with the fans, energy's coming back, it's a mutual respect. And we're not just going, okay, we have to get, you know, X number of points in our ratings this week, so let's do a stunt.
I'm Kevin, by the way. This is Norman. We're Bloody Kings. When I approached Norman, by the way, we're original Highlander fans. Norm started watching it, I believe, as soon as it came on. I was in LA, though, where it wasn't showing hardly, like, on a regular basis, or it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday or something like that. But when Facebook and all these podcasts started really becoming the mainstream, I was bugging this guy for a year on another network to let's do a Highlander podcast, because I know how passionate Norm has been. And the only other podcast out there was Highlander Rewatch. And we felt that there was an audience out there that was probably wanting to hear more Highlander fans talk about Highlander. So we got together and started Blood of Kings. And it's amazing with our Facebook group and with Highlander Rewatch, all the fans that are kind of coming back that were fans back in the day and loving to uncover their fandom for Highlander. I know you feel about the same way, right?
It's amazing to see like all the fan like appreciation and all the excitement here. And you're right, I was in there in 92. And the great thing about being a fan
five.
Now... No, so back in 92 I was a fan, I still am a fan, and then the great thing about seeing it from back then to now is seeing the tools of the trade change. So when you're looking at how you can access the fan community, you have to go with where everyone else is in these social spaces. But it's also neat that the fans have been there in the interim period waiting for these spaces to appear. And that's where your fanzine came in, that's where other groups came in, especially the convention circuit, because the convention circuit is where we can all congregate and still share these ideas and passions. But now you don't have to do it, you know, remotely. You can still do it from your home and online on Facebook and everything like that. So I think it's great that everyone's seeing the advantage of that. And I think that we really have to encourage each other to stay connected in that way, because after this is done, it's not done. It's never done, right? Because the spirit's still alive, or we wouldn't be here 25 years later, 31 years later, if you started with a movie.
I wanted to say, it's interesting, like you mentioned, like there's always been this fan presence, and it's just that the form has changed, like from fanzines now to podcasts or something like that. And it's interesting to, like, when we watched the show, I was, what, 10 years old when I was watching it, like 95 or whatever? I don't think my family even, yeah. I don't even think my family owned a computer until 1998. So, like, the idea to go on a forum was out of the question. Also, my mom probably would be like, you're not chatting with people online. So we kind of missed out on that sort of fan community. I mean, this is our first Highlander worldwide convention. If I had been older, I would have gone to all of them. So now I think a lot of people, like, that are our age, this is a really unique opportunity to kind of get back into the fandom and interact, because there was not, I could never do it before. And now with podcasts, like, there are these new crossroads that are being built. A lot of our fans didn't even realize, you know, that there was a community, and some, but they're into podcasts and they listen to all podcasts, you know, when they're going to work at the gym, and suddenly they find there's a Highlander one, and the there's new crossroads opened and new connections. I think that's really an interesting thing.
The internet, I always found, and I think it's still true today to different extents, was always a great leveler. I think I told various people, when I went to the Anaheim event in 98, I found myself at a table with somebody who worked for NASA, somebody who was a teacher, somebody who was a soldier who'd just come back from the Middle East, somebody who was a mom, somebody who I think was about 13 years old. My future wife was there. And it was,
it was interesting that these people probably would never.
That's what it said on her name tag.
Yeah, yeah, future wife. I have no choice. Yeah, that's not. But it was a great leveler in the sense that it didn't matter, you know, where they were from in the world, the income, the experience they had. It was like going to see a sports arena. It didn't matter. You had that great. Like, it was a level playing field. And I think the internet, and nowadays there's always the talk of like peer pressure and stuff on the internet. But I found that everybody here is very supportive of everybody else's. It's slightly different from what we do. That's great. Like, how can we help them? And you know, you guys have done it, and you guys have done it. It's a hugely supportive arena.
This is actually fascinating to me because, of course, the negative of the internet that's been in the news recently is all this siloing, where people only talk to people who agree with them. But a fandom of any sort, but a science fiction fandom especially, seems to draw in people who are, in fact, different from each other in the other aspects of their life. So then it causes people to actually wind up meeting people from states they've never visited, or, you know, or that are 30 years older than them but are their new best friend. You know, that connection happens because of the topic as opposed to because of geography or politics or other things that are, I guess, more divisive. I mean, we don't have a show that we, like, have a fistfight rivalry with, do we? Outlander, maybe, just for the name?
Damn that Hercules.
We're the Highlander, they're the Outlander.
Well, it's, like, really fascinating. Like, I'm from Philadelphia. I've lived there my entire life. And I come here to this convention, and in 2 days I've met people who live in Japan, England, Wisconsin. It's amazing to meet so many people from all over the world. From this podcast we do about liking Highlander, I mean, it's really amazing. And there's just a weird, like, time. It's like we're using cutting edge technology to put these podcasts out, but what it gets us is, like, one of our listeners, Wendy, brought us newspaper clippings from, like, Highlander articles in magazines. So it's like, it's timeless in a way. It's like almost fitting for the subject matter because, yes, we're using Facebook Live to talk about Highlander, but we, you know, covet a screensaver CD from, like, 1995 now. We're like, oh, this is awesome. Can't use it anymore, but this is great.
It's only $35. So.
I meant to tell you, I have to show this to you guys later. I found up in my attic the access card for the phone game. Right?
Go on.
You would dial an 800 number and have a choose your own adventure by touching the touch tone. Yes. And
ooh, cutting edge.
Was it like 99 cents a minute?
Adrian and Jim, like, you know, the guys recorded some dialogue lines that you would access by going through. Of course, I said 800 number, but there's a good chance it was a 900.
The most innocent 900 number.
Exactly. 1-900 Duncan MacLeod talks to you.
Because I'm kind of out of the business now, I was frankly unaware that there's a resurgence. I thought I was coming to awake. And so I'm so excited that there is a new generation, so to speak.
Are there any questions from when we've been talking? Are there any questions? I'll come here and then I'll come to you, Mary.
I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think we all feel the same way, that if there's something tangible out there that you can reach out to and then share with other people, I think that's the true spirit of fandom. I think that they can thrive, probably not as passionately, because when you love something, you want to take that and put it out there to meet other people and let them enjoy that. And then that happens. It's like the old, you know, the old shampoo commercial, and so on and so on and so on. Yeah, I know that commercial too. Right, so that's how I feel about it. I think that without a vehicle, Maybe not so much, but I think that in today's day and age, if there's something that you can share, it's very beneficial.
And the tools are out there right now to be able to do this. Facebook has been great, obviously, with all these Facebook groups. I've noticing a lot of conventions now are using Facebook to actually create a group for panels now, which is really great for when you're trying to remember all the stuff that you want to do. But it also, it's about getting out there and finding that freeway, an information freeway, and getting people united in what you like. And Facebook is a great way to do it. Of course, podcasting for us has been as well.
I would also add that, you know, you mentioned like, is there, you know, do you need something outside the computer to connect to? But in a lot of ways, it's all those things have come together in the same space. I mean, we can watch our Highlander episodes on our phone, and then I just scroll over and I can tweet about it right away. So there's less of a barrier, I think, between the you know, what used to be the physical media of it and, you know, interacting with people. And we have like directors Jeremy and Andrew in the back who made great fan films. So, I mean, the avenue of, yeah.
We'll be seeing those later today as
yes.
well.
Yes. But, you know, the idea that like, oh, there needs to be some, you know, a new book or a new movie. I mean, it'd be great if there were, but, and there will be. You know, these things are constantly being put out there in the same space that we're communicating and being social with other people, which I think is cool.
Mary?
Well, there aren't the same kind of ratings measurements for both syndications. So, yeah, we were constantly up against that because the powers that be thought they were making a show for 12-year-old boys.
Hey, 12-year-old boys were there. They are.
But we,
their moms.
But we became the advocates for the 30-year-old librarians.
Our mom was a 30-year-old librarian.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And the other thing is that the demographics of fandom are not always the same as the demographics of viewership. Like, we did eventually learn that while they thought it was a show for boys, it was actually 50-50 viewers, whereas the fans are overwhelmingly female.
Although, apparently no longer.
First generation of fans.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is purely about the sex appeal of the star. I think it just has to do with a certain desire for community, I would almost say. I mean, it's cliched and stereotyped. And of course, there were always both genders at the cons, but they were largely women coming together. And I think you're right about seeing it in person having an effect on Bill's understanding of, like, the numbers are one thing, that it's 50-50, but to see the people in front of you and to hear their stories in an autograph line or other interaction.
And on the forum, there was huge philosophical discussion, like David
Alvarado
described it as
publicly constructed
discussion
with
swordplay. Yeah, gothic action adventure Talmudic discussion.
I was sent to John Bailey the other day that it was him and me. It was basically your name had to be John to be on the Reicher Forum and not be a woman.
there was only three or four of us there, but go to a convention, it was a little different. But it wasn't, but demographically, it was majorly women. Now it's much more 50-50, I would say.
Hey. Just kidding.
Sorry. Yeah. Shh. Hold on. Yes.
The show is just a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazingly moving and flattering to be part of something that has that kind of long reach. That, yeah, we're not as big by any means, but most shows, nobody cares 3 years after, much less 20 years after. Like, you wouldn't get...
And with Star Trek, there is new material almost all the time. There is new stuff to talk about. I find it immensely satisfying that a show where there hasn't really been any significantly new material out there still has a passionate fan base where we can do a convention. I mean, this might be the last one, but it's... Look, we can still do this 30 years on.
It's a high bar for the rest of our lives.
Like, yeah.
What about The Source, though?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's new.
I'm in it, and it still sucks.
The other thing I did want to mention in terms of what you're talking about with the demographics is that, you know, fan letters were sort of the old school way of, like, checking out a forum to see what viewer response was. Now, anyone who actually went to the trouble of writing a letter, you knew they felt passionately, either positive or negative, because they actually, like, got out a pen and a stamp.
And said, "Dear murdering bastards."
Right. But our rule of thumb was, as long as we were getting approximately equal numbers of letters complaining that there was too much talking and not enough sword fighting, and letters saying that there was too much sword fighting and not enough talking, then we were right on point.
That's... You know what else? Oh, sorry.
No, just a second question.
And that's something that we tried to, you know, educate the powers that be, but also, you know, the folks in the production bubble up in Vancouver, is we would mine the various forums, Prodigy, Genie, AOL, and send representative letters up to the set. And I think that slowly started to inform the show. Fewer 12-year-old boys, more Talmudic discussion.
I mean, because there were, you know, people would write long essays, really like dissertations on the meanings of episodes. And I think for some of the cast and crew who bothered to read the stuff we sent up there, Ken Gord particularly was interested. Like, he would sometimes say to us, "Where's the report? You know, like, when's the stuff coming in?" Because I think just, you know, knowing that people were actually watching that closely, paying that much attention, meant, I mean, not that people were planning to slack off, but it really made you say, I'm gonna go that extra mile because there are real people out there who are actually gonna appreciate it.
I mean, we're running out of time a little bit, just about next, like, 5 minutes or so, but I found it fascinating how influential and pivotal Highlander has been. I've told millions of people how Highlander's touched every aspect of my life, personally, professionally, friendships, relationships over the years. I've all touched, and I can't think of a way it hasn't. But you hear the stories. Green was saying, you know, yesterday about that, and I hear countless stories. And it's really thanks to you guys, that those stories are going to continue. And we have that connection for people who don't necessarily live anywhere near us anymore, but we can find some common holy ground with.
I think we're passing the baton.
Yeah, these guys are playing a con, right?
Yeah.
I had one small suggestion.
You look like a con to me.
Yeah.
I just had one.
Yeah.
actually, Jill, that you were going right to my point. I just wanted to say, and maybe you guys would agree, is that we're a male-dominated podcast production here, you know, between all of us. And I know that there are a lot of women that I've talked to over the course of these few days that are very passionate about Highlander. Come and pick our brains if you want to start your own show, because we need more female representation out there in podcasting. Not just our podcasting, in all podcasting. You have a voice. You have the ability to use that and reach out to people who have the same feelings that you do, even men. We have the same feelings that, you know, or share the same opinions that you may have about fandom. So ask us how to set up the technology. How do you want to run it? The course of a show, how to block a show, all that kind of stuff. These guys are amazing at it. We're okay at it. These guys are amazing at it. Okay? But the talent is here, so please take advantage of us while we're here in that way. And this mic really is on. We have no editor here to take that out. So please, no, please, please, if you want to start a podcast, please ask us if you'd like to.
We'll fix that in post.
It's all gold.
We have run out of time, but this has been kind of my favorite panel, because it speaks to why I've been involved and why I'll continue to be involved and the power behind it. So, ladies and gentlemen, all our guests.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
All right, Norm, there it was. There was our panel. That was fun, man.
It was fun. Gosh. You know, the revisiting a lot of this content, because we haven't done so in a while, probably not since the actual convention, there are so many things that I think we wanted to say, and I think there were a lot of opportunities where, say, we were given like a 2-hour, 3-hour format, we probably could have said.
Right.
But being able to relive a lot of the dynamics of when the fandom started online in earnest, say in like the mid-1990s, it's really interesting how it's evolved from then to now, don't you think?
Yeah, it has. It has. And, you know, I want to give a special thanks to the Highlander Rewatch guys, because they inspired us. You know, we were talking about doing a Highlander podcast for a while, and they went out and they did it first. And we followed shortly after, and even had them on one of our Highlander fandom flashback shows. So I want to thank them and you know, everyone else. It was really great to you know, talk to Grant as well, and of course Gillian and Donna. Anyway, thank you guys very much. We really appreciate it. Norm and I were honored to be on there, and hope you guys enjoyed that show. Before we head on out here, I just want to mention too, the Sword Experience update. If you haven't already, please check out Sword Experience with Adrian Paul. He's got some really cool shows coming up here. Check out theswordexperience.com. He has December 3rd in Chicago, and also he has January 28th in Atlanta, and more are to come. Norm, why don't you know, any final thoughts about this event that we did, looking back on this?
Well, I mean, it was a great privilege of us for to be involved with this panel. You know, it's funny that we haven't been doing this for that long, Kevin, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that Blood of Kings as a podcast has given a certain avenue for fans to listen to certain dynamics that we have about Highlander. Highlander in and of itself has so many different ways to be able to dissect the information, from the TV shows to the movies to the fan films to every single facet of it. And I think that we had a great opportunity in this Online of Fire panel just to make ourselves, you know, here's Blood of Kings. This is what we do. And we're part of this greater community of fans. You know, Highlander Rewatched is part of it. Highlander Heart, Grand Kempster is part of it. And us. But I'm just surprised that it's just us, like these three entities right now so far. And one thing one entity that we haven't discussed and probably should have been part of this panel is Highlander Imagine, Wendy Lou Jones. Mm. You know, the fan fiction right. That she writes with her partner Liliana. I think that's also part of the Highlander I guess, online community and movement, right? That's being, agreed. Yeah. So with all of this, I think that we probably could use even more support. And I said this during the panel, if you want to do a podcast, let us know. We would love to be able to help you with how you want to craft your podcast. And for me personally, and I, Kevin, you agreed too, and I think a lot of people were behind this, there were a lot of women in the audience, and there are a lot of women in the Highlander support universe. If you want to start a podcast, please let us know, because we need and encourage and support more female podcasting in podcasting, especially in Highlander and in podcasting in general. So that's something I said in that interview or in that experience, and I still hold strongly to that, because there are so many different voices about Highlander that need to be expressed. Please let us help you if you want to express them.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. We want to see more Highlander podcasts, and I would love to see I'd love to see a ladies podcast, because
totally.
I want to see their thoughts and their side of the Highlander fandom. That would be so much fun.
Right.
I would totally subscribe to that. So if you have any questions on how to start that and what to do or any advice, please contact us. We'd be more than happy to. So, well, Norm, this was a great thing to be part of, and I will always remember this opportunity. And it was an honor to do it with you, my friend. So thank you. We want to remind listeners, though, we have a lot of other things happening across the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, recently we did talk about, we interviewed some fans last episode, and we also gave a much more in-depth, detailed look into our experience at the Highlander 25th Anniversary Gathering. So make sure you go check that out. Of course, recently we had a Kingmakers interview with Mr. Peter Wingfield himself, a.k.a. Mr. Mythos. And we also talked about the Armory Chronicles, Weapons of Highlander Season 1. And we also covered in Blood of Kings 55, the prize and what it's worth. But Norm, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners here the other great programs that we have here, including our newest one, Discoville. This thing's a lot of fun, bro.
I know. I do enjoy recording Discoville. And Star Trek is pretty much at the forefront right now. So on Discoville, we discuss both Star Trek Discovery, which is the most current show right now on CBS All Access, and The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane's love letter to Star Trek on the Fox network. So what we try and do with this particular show is that we try and celebrate both fandoms, because in fandom today, it can be a little divisive. It can be a little, territorial. So, but we love both shows. And on the Fandom Podcast Network, we want to make sure that we give everyone an opportunity to celebrate in a safe space both of these shows. So that's what Discoville is all about, and we're having a lot of fun producing that show for everybody who listens to the Fandom Podcast Network.
Very cool, very cool. We also have Culture Clash, our weekly fandom news show that co-hosts with our fellow Fandom Podcast Network co-founder, Mr. Kyle Wagner. You get all of your weekly geeky fan news there, and we have some fun segments there as well, so make sure you check that out. We also have Couch Potato Theater, those movies that are so good you don't get off the couch to change a channel, nor put in the Blu-ray that you may have sitting on the shelf mere inches away. And recently we did Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner, and we did one for Doomsday, which was a 2008 film starring Rhona Mitra, which was one of my picks. We also have The Time Warp. Lately, we've been celebrating the movies of 1987. We have part 3 out, and we'll have part 4 coming out soon. And we also did a Halloween special, Buffy 25th Anniversary Retrospective, with myself, Kyle Wagner, and Aaron Gill. We also have The Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with Tom, Brandon, and Chris. If you want to know anything about Alfred Hitchcock and his universe, make sure you check out that podcast. And of course, Kyle and I co-host The End Zone, which is now weekly for throughout the NFL season, talking all things NFL with the best and worst mediocre fantasy football advice.
Let me ask you something here. I want to see if you can give me a prediction here. The Eagles, AFC champs?
NFC.
I'm sorry, NFC champs?
Yes, definitely.
You think so?
I'm picking them right now. Those guys they're strong and they've got it going on. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Surprisingly, right?
They'll have some competition, but man, if they keep going the way things are going, Eagles are definitely going to make it. So I think that's a strong pick, right?
Eagles, Patriots, Super Bowl.
Possibly, Patriots are king until someone beats them. So yeah, basically.
Okay. Yep. All right.
I'm just waiting for your Cleveland to finally win a game. So hopefully that'll
happen. Yeah, you and me both. You can see, like, I'm talking right now, so I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this special live recording of our panel at the Highlander 25th Anniversary Gathering, talking about social media and the history of it in the Highlander fan community. Well, I'm Kevin. On behalf of my co-host, Norman, thanks, everyone, for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blooded Kings, a Highlander podcast. Norm, that sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone.